Thank you very much, Shastri, and thank you very much, Virujyoti, for asking me to give this talk. And I very much want to give this talk as an offering to Bhante Sangharakshita. So I'm not going to hang about. I've only got 15 minutes. What I'm going to say is something about lineage. What is lineage? What is it that I feel has been passed on to me through that lineage? And how, what feels important to really keep alive, and how do you pass that on? Or how can I try and pass that on? So, lineage. Virujyoti asked me to give this talk when we were driving back from having sat with Bhante's body at Adhisthana. And because of an experience I'd had during that time that we were sitting with him, I immediately said yes to giving this talk. So your timing was very good. And what had happened was, by pure kind of, I don't know, anyway, I won't go into it, but in the room with Bhante, who was laid out on a kind of plinth with a really beautiful picture of the refuge tree behind his head, I was in the room with Sangadevi, who's here this afternoon. Sangadevi, who is my public preceptor, just happened to be in the room at the same time that I was in the room. And my private preceptor, Kalyana Shri, was also in the room. We'd just come off a retreat where we had been together, so we'd gone together. And several of my Dharma sisters who had been ordained by Kalyana Shri, Virujyoti being one of them. And there was a moment when everyone else had left. There was a few other people there. And everyone else had left, and it's just the women I've just talked about were left in the room with Bhante. And there was this moment of, there was Bhante, the refuge tree was above him. So you had the Buddha, Shakyamuni, had all of Bhante's teachers. Then there was Bhante. And then Sangadevi was on one side of Bhante. Kalyana Shri was on the other, and she was bowing. Both Kalyana Shri and Sangadevi were ordained by Bhante. I'm standing behind Kalyana Shri with my fellow Dharma sisters, and the sense of lineage was very, very strong. It was palpable. It really blew me away. And after that experience, so what is this lineage? And essentially, it's a lineage of people who, by various means, decided to teach the Dharma, decided to pass the Dharma on. You know, the Buddha made an active decision to do that. He could have not taught, but he decided to teach. And then all the people through the refuge tree caught the flame of the Dharma, heard the Dharma, and then lived their lives in such a way that they continued to pass that flame on, whether through teaching, exemplification, which is a form of teaching, passing it on through Bhante. And for me, what feels very direct is Bhante Sangharakshita gave his life to the Dharma. I've been reading his biographies recently, his autobiographies. Every moment of his life was in service of the Dharma. He didn't ever have a day off, from what I can gather, to, you know, go shopping or something. He was on it every single day. And he gave his life to passing that flame on. And then in my lineage, I have Sangadevi, who has given her life to passing on the Dharma. She lives her life in the Dharma. She's devoted to supporting, helping women to join the order, to deepen their practice. That is her life. Kalyana Shri has given her life. She lives her life for the Dharma. She lived at Tiruvannamalai for 13 years, I think. She's ordained privately 24 women. Sangha Devi, I think, has ordained 60 women, something like that, a lot of women. I mean, these women, these are extraordinary lives, and there are many of them within our movement. I'm just listening to Ratna Ghosha's talk earlier, actually, and, you know, how he has lived his life. This is my lineage. I mean, it's extraordinary. This is the gift that I've been given, the flame that's come down all the way from Buddha Shakyamuni through all of these Dharma practitioners. And what is it that's being passed on? Well, it's the Dharma. It's the truth. And it's the path to the realization of the truth. And for me, particularly what's been passed down through Bhante's vision and presentation of the Dharma. He's drawn from such a vast knowledge of understanding of the whole of Buddhist teaching. And his gift that I feel I have been given is this really pared down to the essentials vision of the Dharma that enables me to practice. He's made the Dharma accessible, not just to me, but to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And then, you know, there are people like Kalyana Sri who've helped me understand the teachings more and more deeply by being my friend, by really taking the time to get to know me and what I need to hear, the teachings that will particularly help me realise more of the truth and helping me apply the Dharma more and more practically in my life. And of course, as I've just mentioned, it's not just what is written or is said in the talk that passes on the Dharma. Again, this reflects a bit of what Ratna Ghosha was saying earlier. It's the lives led. It's all of those lives, Bhante, Sangha Devi, Kalyana Sri, Ratna Ghosha, so many other people, living these deeply inspiring lives, living the Dharma. To live my life with an ounce of the wisdom and kindness of Kalyana Sri would be a very wonderful thing. And so how has this been, how is it passed on? But actually I think more, how will it be passed on? And how will I pass it on? I have to live my life in the Dharma. I have to follow the example of my teachers. I have to practice in the service of the Dharma more and more deeply. I have to keep interested and cultivating an ever-expanding, deepening understanding of the Dharma. And reading Bhante, studying Bhante with others. Again, I was talking earlier about Bhante's complete works, but why that feels so important. We can't keep the flame of Bhante's extraordinary vision alive, keep it fresh, keep it relevant, unless we have a deep understanding of what it was he was teaching, what it was he's given us, what his vision was. And once we can understand that more and more, then we can develop it and pass it on to future generations of people. For me also, I think friendship is incredibly important. Bhante emphasised it as fundamental part of the spiritual life, as of course did the Buddha. And our Sangha is essentially a network of friendships. But what I realise... actually, when I was writing this talk, what I realised is actually the Sangha was my way in to the Dharma. I didn't read a book and think, oh, that's good. Where can I find out more about that? Which I know many people do. My way in was to come in and find this amazing group of very friendly people, some of whom really seemed to be behaving in a way that I wanted to be able to behave. They seemed to have something going on that I wanted a bit of. That was what inspired me to get interested in the Dharma. It wasn't reading a book. And so it's so vital that we have a Sangha that is alive and friendly and open for people to come into, to hear the Dharma. And I think the key is open, honest and kind communication. you know, the Sangha isn't a club. It's not an evening course where you go along, hear a few interesting things, perhaps have a nice cuppa and a chat with a friend. I mean, of course, it can be the cuppa and the chat with a friend. But it's so much more than that. It's about transforming ourselves and others through the practice of real friendship. It's not necessarily agreeing with each other all the time. It's not always, you know, we're not always going to get on with each other. For me, it's about staying open and kind to ourselves and to others when communication gets difficult, when it bites, when it gets really real. That is spiritual friendship, and that deepening trust and connection with our ethical practice right at the heart of it. For me, this is how we keep the Dharma alive, and certainly how I aspire to practice. Yes. Very much related to this is work. Again, Banti emphasised the importance of right livelihoods and having the opportunities to work with other Sangha members. Part of this brief that I did read this brief. Part of the brief was, what would you like to see in the future for Cambridge? And I would really like to see more opportunities for people to come together and work together. My experience of this has been that it's such good conditions for the practice of friendship and to really communicate with each other, to really go there when times get difficult. And I think you can forge something quite extraordinary that then exemplifies something for the wider Sangha that they can also participate in. You have to transform. You have to go there. There's nowhere to hide in the workplace. And similarly, I'd really love to see more women's communities in Cambridge. We've got quite a few men's communities, and we've got one fabulous women's community, and we've got some informal ones dotted about. But I would love to see more women's communities. Just, again, for that living with each other, that opportunity for depth of connection, friendship, with other people whose going for refuge is at the heart of their lives. Yeah, it's quite something. So, again, the brief asked me how I will be passing on the flame. So I can only do this by deepening more and more my commitment to practice, to meditation, study, confession, going on retreat, working in the Dharma with the Sangha whenever I can, putting myself in the best conditions I can. And more, I think, fully trusting that my practicing has an effect. We all have an effect. And trusting that my own light, this was sort of kindled within me by my teachers, that light is kept ablaze with my deepening faith. That the flame that we have here, the flame that we have within Tri Ratna, is the truth. And our flame is what the world needs right now. When you have something this precious and this beautiful, you have to pass it on. When I saw Banti just after I was ordained in August, I thanked him for this extraordinary gift, for all that he'd given. And he said, well, I have received a lot too. And he said, you have not fully received anything until you have passed it on, until you have given it away. Which I've been thinking a lot about since I saw him. So my wish for the future of Cambridge, indeed my wish for the whole of the movement, is that more and more people are able to receive the gift of the Dharma and find conditions in which they can practice. And for that, we need firm foundations. We need a deep understanding of Banti's teaching and a strong culture of friendly, honest, kind communication. And it is up to us now. Banti has left this legacy with us. We are the custodians. It's up to us. And I just want to give Banti the last word. from the esteemed publication that is the magazine and programme for the London Buddhist Centre, September to December 2018. I think this, I'm assuming this was Banti's last interview. There's an interview in here with Banti. If it wasn't his last interview, it must have been very nearly his last interview. And he's being asked about the early days of the LBC and how that was developed. And this is something that he said before, but I was very struck. I read this maybe a day or two after he died, and I was very struck that this may be his last interview, and this is the last kind of quote that we're left with. So the guy who's interviewing him says, "Do you have anything to say about what our duty might be going forwards?" I need to put my glasses on for that. And Banti says, "I am content to leave it to the people who are there. It's all in their hands now, not in mine. The order now is in its own hands, and so is the movement. I mean, I've done my bit, I hope. And now it's up to everybody else to do theirs."